Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. John, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine.
Yay! I apologize. Apparently, it was all my fault. I didn't realize that in order to use our phone systems, I had to turn them off. That was the whole thing.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Sincerely,
I still don't understand how that's what that means, but
yeah, I don't either. But now I've seen how to use it, and it's all good. Thank you so much for being so flexible with us.
Well, I got nothing but time. I'm just working on music here, so everything's cool.
Do you have some time for some questions from listeners?
I would love to. If I know the answers, I will give them freely.
Well, first of all, I'd like to just say how excited we are that 2018 is going to be just another one of these crazy times to be alive as a They Might Be Giants fan with Dial-A-Song and the Instant Fan Club and the touring and all the albums and the comic books.
We're sort of getting back in the saddle. We've done a lot of prepping, so hopefully it won't be quite as... You know, 2015, we did the Dial-A-Song project, which was posting a new song every week, and I think we started with a plan that sort of took us to the beginning of April or May after working for 6 months or something like that, and that seemed like we were in really good shape. I think we felt kind of pretty confident that it would be easy, but then as the year went on and we were kind of out on the road, it started to feel like... I mean, we really...
What have we gotten ourselves into?
Yeah, so it was sort of a George Jetson kind of, affair. But we're a little bit better prepared at this point. I think we actually have things pretty solidly mapped out till the, pretty deep into the year. So I'm excited.
We're terribly excited as fans. Can't wait to hear... I've loved everything I've heard off of the new album. Which was, I've heard a couple tracks, and I've heard all of the songs at one time. I listened to that, too, but can't wait for that to come out in January. This is just going to be, it's another great year to be a They Might Be Giants fan. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
I never thought after 2015 we'd see anything of that kind of parallel that, but this is even bigger.
I don't think we really thought we'd do another round, but it's going to be a great year. We've got a ton of shows. Like, we're going to be playing in all across Europe and in the United States, all across the United States. It's going to be a big good time.
Awesome. Well, do you guys? We've asked a bunch of our listeners to send in questions, but I also should tell you, just so you are kind of on the same page, since we spoke, we have hit all 50 states. We have hit all 7 continents, including Antarctica.
Wow. Yeah.
We have heard from 20 countries.
20, yep.
So we
I'm
have,
not really sure who lives in Antarctica. Not to sound like a, like a sort of a
nope,
junior. How do you live in Antarctica?
Well, there are a number of people, I guess, that are scientists and then support crew.
Uh-huh.
But, Tom, because we got the request and we doubted it ourselves. But do you want to talk about it,
Well,
Tom?
Well, just that there's a reputable source, and we don't want to name too many names, and, this is a little on the DL, but, we got some visual verification, and, it's legit.
We saw
if you acknowledged that they were there doing scientific research, their funding would be cut.
Well, somebody in Antarctica is actually holding up one of your balsam wood airplanes from the Instant Fan Club 2 years
ago.
Yeah. So that to us is proof that there's a They Might Be Giants fan there.
For real. So speaking of that, that could be a good segue into one of the questions that one of the other folks submitted. Stephanie wants to know, who decides what goes into each year's IFC bundles? With the guitar-related objects this year, I'm guessing that you had at least a little input.
I'm not trying to take credit, any undue credit, but I think the whole scheming and dreaming part of doing this fan club project was really me trying to figure out how not to be broke. So desperate times call for desperate measures. But I guess, you know, the truth is, like, the guitar picks and things like that are very easy to manufacture. They're just like with all the stuff with the Instagram Club, we're trying to figure out how to both provide, like, something that feels like a really huge value to the people who are doing it, and also, is actually profitable for us. So it's like, I would be lying if I said we weren't trying to figure out what, I think, you know, a lot of times with Kickstarter campaigns, people don't realize it's very easy to do a Kickstarter campaign and actually, lose money. You know, it's like you kind of you make promises you can't keep, you overpromise, you do things where have hidden costs. Yeah. And so it's a little bit, you know, we're trying to figure out how to do everything all at the same time. And this year we manufactured guitar strings, which I thought was really a fun project.
Yeah.
And we'll sell those things at shows. We actually found the wholesale guitar string manufacturer this is also a little bit of a show business secret. A lot of the guitar strings you see in a guitar shop, pretty much like half of them in any given guitar shop, are made by the same manufacturer. And I'd always heard this sort of as a rumor in music stores that, you know, X brand strings were the same as Y brand strings because they're all made in the same place by a third party. Hmm. And I just had the good fortune of finding out who where the third party works. And it's very, very low key. Like, their whole thing is like they are to the trade. So they don't make their own strings. They just make strings for other people. And when I found them, I just sort of approached them about making guitar strings for us, and we got a very good deal, and they're very cool. And actually, a distant relative of mine, Ida Tarbell, is the cover girl of that project.
Really?
She's the original muckraker. She wrote a book at the turn of the last century called The History of Standard Oil that was the kind of the impetus for anti-monopoly practice legislation. Mm-hmm. It was a real. She was kind of. What is that woman? Naomi. What's the woman who wrote No Logo?
Naomi Wolf.
You know that book?
Yeah, it's Naomi Wolf.
Naomi Wolf.
Yeah, Naomi Wolf. She was kind of like the Naomi Wolf of her era. She was. She was an investigative journalist for a lot of big women's magazines, which were very closely read and kind of secretly political. I mean, very sort of lefty in the sort of most kind of subtle way. But she really exposed all the monopoly stuff, and she's a very cool person. And the strings, since the strings are called lefty strings, I thought it'd be good to have like a lefty on the cover.
Nice.
I've got a question from Kim in Maine, kind of along these lines. She says you've got a great eye for design. And a lot of the posters and branding that's been done, she has tend to identified with you. Are there any people who are designers or have done some of that you admire or some of your visual influences?
Well, I mean, I do design a lot of the posters that are on our social media. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, it's 1 a.m. and I drank too much coffee and I can't get to sleep and I'll just sort of work on those things. But we collaborate with a crazy number of very great graphic designers on the video side, and as well as just the album covers and stuff. We've been working with this guy Paul Sayre, who is. He's actually a very famous designer in the design world. He had a big design studio with a half dozen people working under him, and he's a big wheel in that world. And mm-hmm. I guess the first project we did with him was Join Us, where we had the big truck. He did the gigantic pink hearse that gets destroyed, and that was all very much from his.
Such a great video.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all Paul, and that's very much kind of his style. He's got a very interesting sensibility. He's extremely American in a way. Like, my whole family is from upstate New York, and he's from upstate New York, and I feel like, I'm sure, like where you are, you can kind of identify the vibe of your area when you see it.
Sure.
And I feel like there's something in his work that, even though it's very sophisticated, I can always sort of feel that kind of
connection.
That sort of upstate New York thing. He's done a lot of things related to, like, NASA. His father worked for NASA, I guess, and he's just got some. There's something about it that just harkens back to sort of '60s kind of optimistic time, and I don't know. So he's a very interesting guy to work with, and he's got really crazy ideas. So.
Well, I like that he's affiliated with NASA to some extent, because our next get is going to have to be the International Space Station to get a request for They Might Be Giants, I think. Because where do you go?
Yeah. Well, you guys are worldwide now, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I have a question kind of related to the Instant Fan Club. Kim in Miami is wondering how involved you were in the creation of the Escape Team comic. And did you have any input on the story, or was it just sort of a write songs for these characters deal?
Well, it was a kind of a split process, because what we did, I was talking to David Coles, who created the Escape Team comic, and we were trying to sort of figure out a vehicle to write songs to, and I thought that if we had really strong characters, writing songs to just very strong character names, almost comic character names, would be pretty easy. And so it was loosely based. The real cultural reference is the drawings of a graphic artist from the 60s named Big Daddy Roth, who did...
Oh, yeah.
People probably remember Garbage Pail Kids more, but before Garbage Pail Kids, there was a thing called Wacky Packages, which came out in the late 60s, and even before that, there was Big Daddy Roth, and his biggest character was named Rat Fink, and it was all wrapped up in kind of hot rod culture on the West Coast.
Surf and, music.
Yeah, very surfy, kind of this weird, badass, Californian kind of beach bum stuff. And very kind of, it's really scumbag stuff, you know? And we thought it would be interesting to kind of create a cast of characters that had that weird, kind of hairy vibe about them. Because they're so funky. And David Coles had done the Mesopotamians video, which also has this sort of cast of characters in it. And I think our thinking kind of ran parallel to that, that it was like it would be interesting to create sort of a little cast of characters there. Hmm. So we basically collaborated on the name creation of the of the characters, and then David came up with the story that kind of animates the actual comic books. But it was that was entirely of his doing. So it was a little bit of a split. Collaboration. It kind of started in our outbox, and then kind of went into, and then came the big project came out of his fevered dreams.
I've got kind of a twofer for you.
Sure.
Amber in Cincinnati wants to know how your cats are.
Oh, well, it's a very very nice question to ask. One of my cats is actually been on the ropes a little bit in the past couple of days. So I've been, we had to go to the vet, and it was like, it's a little gruesome. But my cats are good in general. The little one's on the mend. So
okay.
I would tell you their names, but I use them as my passwords on my computer.
And Christy in Little Ferry, New Jersey wants to know, in your downtime, she's heard that you like to cook. Do you have any favorite recipes or any favorite cooking that you like to do?
Oh, my wife actually just got me the Jerusalem cookbook.
Oh, that's supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, I've had a friend of mine has made some stuff from that, And then we went to this wedding where all the food was from the Jerusalem Cookbook, and it was just phenomenal. So she just sort of arrived in the mail a couple of days ago. But so that's kind of the next level for us. But it's a whole world. I don't know. To be perfectly honest, I just discovered fish tacos, so I feel like I'm not exactly ahead of the curve on culinary discovery.
Have you been making fish tacos?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, honestly, I love just Mexican food in general, and I just circle back to the same things that I love, and I had never really. But I'm not a big like taco guy, so it's like fish tacos seems like the fourth thing I would get, and then I just had some, and they were like, I was like, oh my god, what if I've been missing this thing all along? it's the miracle of fried food combined with Mexican flavors. It's like, yeah.
Oh, a little bit of lime and cilantro. It's perfect.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's like it's a fantastic little confection of stuff that. I don't know. It's pretty delightful.
Awesome. Do you got a question, Chantel?
Let me see. I had one, and then I was skipping around trying to find it. Oh, here it is. Okay. Are there any songs that you didn't write but you wish you could take credit for?
Birdhouse in Your Soul. I don't know. John is an incredible songwriter, and it's like I feel like I'm sort of perpetually just playing catch up to his prodigious output. But it's a very interesting and fun collaboration. We do all sorts of stuff, different stuff. Like on this next record, there's a lot of. I actually gave John a lot of like beats to kind of jump off from, and it was very interesting to do sort of almost like a postal service kind of back and forth that way, because like a lot of times the collaboration stuff happens when we're in the we do some collaboration where we're in the same room, but this was much more just like at arm's length. It was like sending him stuff, but
Well, when we were talking with him, he said that you guys like to kind of mix up your songwriting styles to just kind of keep it fresh and challenge yourselves. So you'll take a different approach at times.
Yeah, I don't think you keep writing songs for as long as we have, unless you're trying to figure out how to do something new along the way. I mean, I think I don't think we're that easily satisfied, but it's like I wouldn't be too excited about what we're doing if I felt like we were just repeating ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we've been taking all of these requests and talking with people, and it's just amazing that your old music is just as amazing as your new music, and you don't get that with a lot of bands. It's like they have a period that's really good, but your career has just been, there's never been like a down time. What They Might Be Giants albums.
That's very kind of you to say. I always wonder how we're really perceived. I'm sure there are people who just think like we lost it a long time ago. But
I think they just haven't listened to you then.
I actually feel like the last like 10 years of what we've been doing has been. Such an interesting evolution to me, and I feel like we're actually in our weird third act. I feel like we're actually entering a really prime time. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It does seem like things are the center is holding.
Oh, I would agree with you. Now I also asked John Linnell this question, and I don't know if you're going to recall this, but when we spoke with you last year at this time, both of you in your interviews hinted at this big project that was coming up, and it was top secret, and it was going to blow us all away, something you guys had never done. And I asked John Linnell about it, and he said, oh, that actually hasn't happened yet, if it's what he's thinking it is. Now, does this ring any bells for you? And I'm not asking you to spill the beans. But I just know that after you guys talked about this last year, it's all that anybody on the chat rooms and They Might Be Giants fans were talking about was, what could this be?
Oh, that's fascinating.
it's not a Broadway, because everybody then wrote in to ask them if it's a Broadway musical.
Right.
And you guys emphatically said, no, that's not it. That's not anything we could do.
That's interesting. I mean, we're talking with, there are a couple things that are in the works, but I don't want to.
No, and we're not asking you to spill. I'm just wondering if that's still, because he actually said that by the time we speak to him next in 2018, we will know what it is. He said the eggs will have hatched.
Is it a poultry farm?
Wow, I feel like I've got to talk to John about exactly which thing he's talking about.
I'm excited to know there's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm really not trying to be a tease here.
No,
but
no.
I feel like the relative scale of the things are pretty, earthbound in a way. I don't think anybody's going to go like, this has never been done before. I don't know. We're touring with a trumpet player on this next tour.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
But that's hardly earth-shaking. I don't know. I'll text John and find out what's going on.
Well, do you guys have some more, Tom?
I have a really important, serious question for you.
Sure.
You guys have done a lot of really fantastic covers, and very fan favorites. But there's one that I think you really need to get to, and I'm just curious if you would ever consider covering Temporary Secretary.
Temporary, that's a Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
That is a Paul McCartney. Yeah. He's asking this question because...
That is tongue fully in cheek, I believe.
Wait a minute. It's like a robot.
I really only know the song. I don't really know the song. I read Paul McCartney... A really interesting book called Man on the Run. It's a Paul McCartney biography that starts the day the Beatles broke up and ends the day John Lennon was killed. And so it's really about Paul McCartney in his wilderness years and then becoming sort of Paul McCartney in Wings, like another sort of second wave worldwide success. And they talk about that Temporary Secretary song, and it sounds like it's a UFO, but there's so many UFO Paul McCartney songs, it's really hard to know what it is. I mean, it's not like a new wave song, is it?
Well, he kind of thinks
it's
it is.
It's an electronic song.
There's this kind of legendary session that I've read about from Paul McCartney where he got a brand new set of synthesizers and like a mountain of marijuana. And apparently most of it is unreleasable except for Wonderful Christmas Time and Temporary Secretary. And I find Temporary Secretary to be insufferable.
Wonderful Christmas Time as a song being written like by somebody who's high. Wow. It kind of makes a little more sense.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I don't know the Temporary Secretary song, but
Thank God.
I just met with the people at Spotify yesterday, and we're talking about doing a session at their studio, and one of the things you have to do...
Pick a playlist?
...to do a Spotify session is they want you to do a cover as well. They want you to, like, play a hit and, you know, do sort of some guilty pleasure cover. So maybe a Temporary Secretary would be a good choice.
Oh, man.
Is the architecture of the song...
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. Tom was just trying to lead
Big
you astray.
Mistake.
No.
We're not looking for a split decision here. I have to say, like, the AV Club stuff, we did a cover of Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, which seemed... very unlikely to turn out well, and then we did a cover.
And it's amazing.
I thought that actually and then we did a cover of Bill Zills. Yes.
That is awesome.
Saw you do that live up at First Ave.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I think the live thing, that song kind of comes across better live. Mm-hmm. The Chumbawamba thing, though, I have to say, because we did it with all the people from The Onion, like, in the room singing along the big, like, you know, I right. got knocked down thing, there was something very special and strange about it, because, you know, when, you know, we're They Might Be Giants, we're not, like, we're not a band that, like, we don't really trade in the earnest thing too often, and you know, certainly the people at The Onion are a bunch of are as snarky as anybody, and so doing that song and just but having like a group, it just made me realize how magnificent it is to do group singing. You know, it's just it feels really good to have everybody singing along, and I don't know, like the cover thing is an interesting problem, but I don't know about this temporary secretary thing. I don't want to people
stay away from it.
Tread lightly.
I don't want people to hate us.
Well, should we put somewhere like what song should They Might Be Giants do as a guilty pleasure cover and have a list of songs for you to
sure.
think of?
I mean, you know, we're certainly open. You know, I think with the it's strange. You know, I was doing a playlist for Spotify a couple weeks ago. That was basically the original versions of all the different songs that we've covered over the years, and it just kind of reminded me how wide open it seems really wide open. How whatever whatever songs we've cover, they seem like they're coming from very very disparate places in the musical universe. But I guess the truth is like when we cover songs, I think we. Either they're just really fantastic songs that are very underheard, and I think we feel like we can do a version that maybe can bring it forward and kind of have it get to a different audience, or we feel like we can do a version of it that's very different than the original and kind of points out some musical quality in it that might have been missed otherwise. But and I mean, I guess there's some that are just like we're just kind of stealing their great thing.
Right, hands down, one of my favorite Dyla songs from 2015 was your cover of Starry Eyes.
Oh yeah,
I play it all the time on the radio.
That is such a great song. You know,
yeah.
That is a really a fantastic song. When we first moved to New York, that record came out, and a friend of ours, I remember just going to his tiny apartment, and he had a tiny little record player, and he had. You know, three or four. He had just gotten back from the UK, and he had these 45s. And he played Bram Tchaikovsky's "Girl of My Dreams," "Starry Eyes" by The Records, and a song by Billy Idol, which is specifically not Generation X. And these were all contemporaries. You know, all exactly of the same moment, like the summer of 1981, I think. And it was just such a striking song. I mean, it was a very interesting moment because the immediate aftermath of the punk rock thing, there was so much good songwriting, and it was so much about being concise. It was just great. The records were just a great band, and. Starry Eyes is just an amazing song.
Yeah, I love that cover, and I love your Dancing in a Lesbian Bar too, the Jonathan Richman cover. That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
The thing that's funny about that is that our version of it is so disrespectful to the original in a way. Like I think Jonathan Richman probably hates. You know, it's essentially like a disco song, and it's very our version is very electronic and kind of pumped up and. But I just thought the sentiment was fantastic, mm-hmm. and there's something about. I mean, Jonathan Richman is just—he's my number one guy. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I mean, Roadrunner came out in Boston was being played on WBCN in Boston as just sort of a that was a freeform radio station when freeform really meant something, and so they didn't have any kind of playlist, and that song was not really widely available as a record, but it was a recording that WBCN had in 1974, and they would just play it all the time, and I think the fact that it just had all these local references to like where we were it was about really about driving around in a car.
It's a great song. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, all the all the Route 9 stuff. I mean, there's all this stuff about like Framingham and these you know sort of smaller towns on the in the suburbs of Boston. And for us, it was just like having somebody like on the radio singing directly at us. You know?
So there's Stop and Shops out there? That's not just a place?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's we got our groceries at Stop and Shop for my entire life. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. I guess I didn't even think of it that way. Cause
wait, are there Stop and Shops in the Midwest?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. Right.
Nope.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, there's all this stuff in it that just seemed, it was describing our area. I mean, in the same way that if you were from like Asbury Park, like and a Bruce Springsteen song came on, you'd be like, "Whoa, mind blower!" You know, that's what Jonathan Richman was for us.
Hmm. Well, I have a question from Kevin in Evanston, Illinois. He said that he was watching the gigantic documentary and was struck by the great respect that you and John Linnell both seem to have for each other. And he's wondering, do you feel that this is one of the keys to your longevity and continued quality of work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, of course. I mean, you know, John and I have, I think we kind of, and I've said things like this before, but I think we it's great to have as much shared kind of experiences growing up with someone as I have with John, and it's really great to not be related to someone that you have that many shared experiences with. Because I think the thing about, like, brother acts is, like, there is a power to it that's very, very real, but you also can feel the tension of the person trying to, like, break out as an individual, like, all the time. I mean, it doesn't matter, like, what kind of family act you're talking about, but, like, family acts, there's such a long history of these sort of uncomfortable tensions in family acts where they obviously people feel like they're being denied their own voice, and I feel like it's just the opposite with me and John. Like, I think we actually really, you know, we kind of support each other and make each other sort of feel more confident about things that are a little bit harder to justify. I think we really pull out the best in the other in terms of just, you know, doing different kind of stuff. Yeah, it's, you know, it's been a really great, it's been a very easy collaboration and a very easy career together, I feel like. We really don't argue that much about stuff. And also, I think the fact that our goals are kind of in sync, which is to say that we're both a little bit lazier than you'd imagine and both a little bit less ambitious than you'd imagine. It's just, you know, I think we're both like constantly trying to figure out a way to just kind of keep things working without too much fuss.
Well, that kind of another fan had a question that was related. They said, your friendship is a big part of why the band works. Do you find yourselves going out of your way to accommodate the other? Do you ever find that one of you is dominating and needs to dial it back?
Well, I mean, I feel like we spent so much time drinking so much coffee in the first 20 years of our work together that I feel like I accidentally interrupted John for about 14 years straight. So, for that, I should probably, you know, compose a long written apology. But, it's hard to say. It's hard to say, like, in a way, we're sort of forced to be together so much that it's a little bit hard just on our, you know, ultimately on our relationship, because it's like we have every, you know, there's every reason that we should be completely sick of each other. I mean, we end up taking, you know, taking a plane flight to Australia. You know, that's kind of like a little bit of a interpersonal prison sentence. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of respect and there's a lot of sort of understanding. There's a lot of business stuff that I deal with that, you know, John is happy not to deal with. And the strange thing is, like, by having sort of clear roles in that way, it does make it like it makes things very, very simple in a way that I think if we tried to figure out some more complicated accommodation, it would probably be a bigger drag. I mean, just between me and you guys, like, it, you know, when I can say, like, yeah, Linnell's never going to go for that. And what I really mean is, like, I hate that idea. And but, you know, I can just, it's very easy. It's actually a very useful thing to sort of have, like, a person who's not in the negotiation who, clearly, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different. It's different.
That makes sense, though, because I know we've talked in the past with you about the chemistry that you two have, and you probably get asked it quite a bit, but I think just what shines through is that you guys just really love working with each other, and it just, we're so lucky that you met when you were so young and formed this band and has kept us all entertained for so long.
Yeah, you know, it's very, I feel tremendously lucky, and you know, I'm also really happy that we've been able to have this, you know, this group of guys, you know, backing us up for so long. I mean, it's funny. You know, I realized we were talking the other day in rehearsal, and we Marty Beller is the new guy, and he's been in the band for only like 16 years.
You know? I mean, he's still the one that has to go get coffee for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just funny because. It's funny how things like that can still matter in a relationship. Like, I think this is a really odd thing about my relationship with John is I'm a year younger than John, and I'll always be a year younger than John. But like when we met, being a year younger was a really big difference. You know, I mean, I met him when I was in like sixth grade, so you know he was like, you know, a much older kid than me. And it sort of defines something, I think, you know, probably not for him so much, but for me, you know, I feel like, you know, there's sometimes I feel like I'm actually just like, I'm working for John, you know? So, like, it's funny, you know, but, you know, you can't change that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been on the phone now with you for about 40 minutes. I don't want to take up too much of your time because we're attempting to be on the phone with you so much before.
Probably, I should get back to work.
And boy, we only have 20 minutes left of 12 hours. That's,
yeah, well, guys, do your thing. But thank you so much for having us on the air. And you know, I can't wait till next year. We'll probably be calling from Europe.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my
wow!
Yeah, we just
announced the European dates, and Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Canada, by the way, wants to know when you're coming.
Yes. I think it's starting. Well, you know, I guess we're going to be in England in September. It's sort of September, October of next year. We've got a lot of shows in England.
Okay.
Well, they're a huge fan base over there. They had so many requests for you guys this morning.
Oh, it's fantastic!
Today.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you know, this is such a crazy thrill for us that you guys pay so much attention to us. So, you know, we really do appreciate it. And, you know, we got to figure out how to come by and do like a radio appearance for you guys. Like,
yes.
On the air.
Well, that would be so incredible. I could give up after that.
Well, wait. Well, when is, hold on, I'm going to look at my calendar here.
You're playing First Avenue on the Ides of March.
March 15th.
Mankato is about an hour south of there.
From First Avenue.
Like an hour and a half.
Since they're downtown Minneapolis, but
is it? I'm trying to find my schedule.
You know, Mankato is actually the Mankato of Little House on the Prairie fame.
Oh well, you know, you want to know something crazy? When we did the Malcolm in the Middle theme, we got a cold call. I got a message to that there was this TV. Producer named Linwood Boomer who wanted to talk to us, and I have to say, like, my first thought was like, what kind of name is Linwood Boomer? and then my wife recognized that Linwood Boomer was the name of the blind boyfriend on Little House on the Prairie.
Do you remember that?
Yes,
she ended up marrying him.
Well, there you go, you guys.
What's your favorite Little House episode?
No, I'm just kidding. No.
So I've got a question. We're coming on March 15th to First Avenue.
Yes.
From Omaha, Nebraska.
You'll be driving right through
us.
Yeah, on 169.
So we should come through. That's a Thursday. So we should sort of try to stop at the station on the way.
Yes,
please.
Yes,
please.
I'm asking for the day off right now.
I will be in touch with Phil. How does that sound?
Yeah. I mean, we'll be like really bleary-eyed probably.
That's no different than us.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. That'd be terrific. So let's try to get that happening.
Yay!
That would be incredible.
Mankato.
Mankato.
That's right.
Green on my calendar. Fantastic, you guys. So, I will probably see you in a couple months.
Yay!
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
You have a great rest of the night, John.
We will.
You just made our year. Maybe that was the top secret that you were talking about.
Right. We're coming to
my
ears.
Yes.
Okay. Have a good one. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.